Hi, I'm Brady Gaster. Welcome to WebCamps TV. Today, I'm very happy to introduce you, as if you don't know this guy already, to Scott Hanselman. He's going to be talking about something that you've probably already heard about, the fact that we have open sourced ASP.NET, Razor, a whole bunch of other good things. I'm going to turn it over to him for the majority of this so that he can kind of go through stuff. But before that, if you haven't seen his blog post yet, here it is right here. Perfect animated GIF with the shock and horror. And he's pointing right here. You can subscribe to his blog right here. So there's announcement number one on Scott's blog. And then the other Scott Goo, made an announcement where he talks a little bit more about it. You can find that weblogs.asp.net, Scott Goo. Probably already have that in your newsreader. But with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Scott, kind of let him do his thing.
Well, I certainly don't have a big old speech. If we can just have a conversation, you and I, Brady. But yeah, that's it. So what we did is we open sourced ASP.NET MVC, Web API, and Web Pages, also known as Razor. And some people might say, well, this is already open sourced. Like, what did you open source if it was already open sourced? It's a little bit subtle. So MVC was open source with version 1, and we brought that out like 4 years ago. Put that aside. Web API is new. Razor is new. Those were not open source before. But now, with MVC 4, we've open sourced this under the Apache license, and we're doing takebacks. That means we're doing contributions. So this is about open source, but it's also about open development. So I don't want to overemphasize the fact that this is open source, because again, we've been doing a lot of open source. If you've been following the Azure SDK stuff, that was open sourced as well. What was interesting about open sourcing the Azure SDK bits a few months ago was that we're doing an open development style. That means that you're literally watching us commit, the developers commit to a public repository. Before, with the example of MVC 1, we would do commits into an internal TFS, and then a couple times we would push it out, and we'd give someone a push of a moment in time. So it was source opened, but it didn't quite feel like open source. With this now, you're literally able to go up to CodePlex, to ASP.NET, webstack.codeplex.com, and you can actually go to the source code area, and even on the right-hand side, there's an RSS feed that you can click on and put in your feed reader and actually subscribe to the commits from the developers. So it's open source, but it's open development. We're going to be having discussions about ASP.NET in the open. We're going to have discussions about commits. And then the interesting bit is that we can have commits from external parties. So when we announced this at Dev Connections a while back, I called my buddy Miguel Diacaza from the Mono team over there at Xamarin. And I said, it would be really great if you would be the first guy that would give us a pull request. Now, a pull request is a way of saying, I've checked out the code, I've modified the code, and I'm going to have that code sit over here, and I want you to pull from that repository. So Miguel downloaded the ASP.NET source code out in the open, made a fix, and then took the results of that fix and then committed it. But he didn't commit it to our repository, because that would be weird. You don't want the public randomly committing to ASP.NET. He committed it to his clone, his fork. Then he points us to it, and then we look at it, and this is what's great about open development. We're able to then look at that and say, oh, you know, that looks good, that doesn't look good. We can have discussions about the merits of that, and then look upon Miguel as being just another contributor, another person who's on the team. We have him sign a contributor agreement, all the different legal whatnot. And then that code is then vetted like anyone else's code. So whether the person's a Microsoft employee or whether they're an external contributor, the same rules apply. It's kind of like the way the Linux kernel does, right? Like Linus is the arbiter, and he is the one who kind of makes the final commit, and he has a whole team of lieutenants that make sure that that is appropriate. Same thing applies at Microsoft. The developers are going to be looking for internationalization issues and security issues and IP and patent issues and all that stuff. We handle all that every day internally. Now we just do it externally. So then we looked at Miguel's pull request. Looked great, and we committed it. And what this means to the community is that we are shipping community code, open source code with Visual Studio.
Awesome. So in the past, what we've had is a situation where you could actually grab your code or grab our code, take a look at it, see how it works, learn some lessons, reflect on it, if you will, take a deep dive in how the actual code works. But we couldn't, as a community, write code that then we got back into Microsoft. That's what this important announcement is all about, is that now the community can actually send us code, we can get it in, you can make the framework better.
Exactly. So I feel like we're going to get feedback quicker, we're going to get bug fixes quicker, but also it's more than just bug fixes. If you download the code and build it, you'll see that there's literally thousands upon thousands of unit tests. So if I find a bug fix, it's one thing for me to report it, but it's another for me to, even if I wanted to, write a failing unit test and then point someone to it and say, here, I'm not going to fix it for you, but here's the bug. You figure it out and make that test pass. That's just another example. You can contribute documentation. You can contribute anything that you want that you can check in. It's pretty exciting stuff.
Nice. So if I look through the code and I find that there are places that don't have commentary and I feel like later on somebody's going to stumble across some code that they don't know, I can just add comments, check that back in, or submit a pull request, and then Microsoft will yay or nay it and bring it in or not, basically.
Right. The idea is that you can get involved. And honestly, most people won't get involved. They'll just watch. But even that is a good idea. Like I said before, you can go there, click on source code, and then even if you don't want to install Git, which is the source control system that we're using, on the right-hand side, there's a RSS icon. You just pull that down, and you can subscribe in your feed reader of choice to discussions and the actual commits and see the comments from the commit as they go in.
Fantastic. One of the things that you just mentioned was Git, and I want to pull up a highlight on that real quick. I want to flip over to one of the open tabs that I've got. And this is the CodePlex announcement where we say that CodePlex now supports Git. So if you've grown accustomed to using Git in other environments, we already supported what? Mercurial, TFS, everything. And now we support Git as well. So it's not really that much of a change, not that much of a paradigm shift if you are already using Git as your distributed source control environment. Not only that, but we've got some new things coming with CodePlex. If you've looked at CodePlex before and you thought, oh, I like this, this works really well, this looks a lot better. We've overhauled CodePlex, done a complete UI change on it, just to show you a couple of the different pages. Here's another one. Got totally new layout happening. Scrolling over, a couple new stuff here. We don't know when that's actually going to be coming out, or I wouldn't want to guess, but point is, we are going to be overhauling a lot of nice stuff and making CodePlex easier to use and more approachable for people that use Git.
Right. There's actually a bigger story there, I think. The idea, people may not know this, actually, but what happened was the CodePlex team used to be over in kind of what was called STO, or Server and Tools Online, the part of the organization that was MSDN. And they recently got moved over into Brian Harry's organization. Brian Harry manages TFS. So they have a kind of a new home now. And when they moved over there, we was like, what was going to happen? What does TFS have to do with CodePlex? All these kind of things. Well, the TFS idea, like TFS preview.com and things like that, TFS in the cloud, makes a lot of sense when applied to CodePlex, because CodePlex itself is a big, giant, hosted TFS. And for collaborative source code experiences, that's something that the TFS team is really, really interested in. So then it made sense that CodePlex should be managed by those guys because they were already using TFS deeply. But at the same time, Brian and his team really want to make CodePlex a really great place that people who are using open source can get involved. And they had already had historically a lot of choices. There was TFS, of course, but also they did Subversion with the SVN bridge, both client and server side. They added Mercurial last year, and now Git. So while it might seem weird, like why are the TFS guys supporting Git, you've already got Mercurial, SVN, and TFS there. Git now means that there's four different choices for folks to use. They can use whatever makes them happy. The other thing about Git in the context of the ASP.NET web stack is that it was a really friendly distributed system that would allow people to send pull requests. A really friendly way for people to do patches and get involved. So we thought that while TFS is really appropriate for enterprise type environments get in the context of collaborative distributed source control made a lot of sense, but they're still using TFS for the issue tracker and all that kind of thing. So it's kind of a nice marriage. And actually, funny story, I myself personally thought that maybe CodePlex wasn't being worked on. I just assumed that because you show up and the site looks pretty much the same. Turns out I was wrong. If you scroll down at the bottom, you could do this yourself if you wanted to. Go to CodePlex.com, go down all the way to the bottom, lower right corner, and zoom in on that. See the date? All the way in the lower right corner. What's the date? Right. They're actually an agile team that's been revving new features on CodePlex almost every week. I had no idea because I never looked down there. So even though the site didn't necessarily look fresh, it was fresh. And Mark Groves and Jonathan Wanigal and the team at CodePlex had been actively working on that. And I think that the visual refresh and some of the new UI work, as well as a number of the new features that people are going to be using, is just going to kind of prove to people that CodePlex is still happening. You know, so it's kind of recommitted to the success of CodePlex, which I think is kind of cool.
I totally agree. One thing that you said earlier that gives me a little concern is you stipulated that you don't think people are going to do, it's almost like you gave me the impression that people are going to do more lurking than they are contributing. How do you think that we as a community can reverse that and encourage people to do it? I think that this announcement in and of itself should be enough for that. But we're always going to have lurkers. We're always going to have doubters. Do you have anything to say to those folks to encourage them? Yes, we really are opening up now.
Well, so the fact that we are opening up doesn't mean necessarily that it's bad that people are going to lurk. And so I can hear why you might initially be concerned, like, well, wait a second, why isn't everyone getting involved? Well, you know, should everyone get involved? I'm sure that for every one committer to the Linux kernel, there are a million people who watch, and that's okay, and it's a better kernel for it. I know as someone who has run a number of open source projects like DOSBlog, as well as someone who complains a little bit sometimes when people don't comment on my blog. Every time I complain when someone comments on my blog, I get lurkers, as we call them, jumping in and saying, first time commenter, I'm still here, don't worry, it's okay, I exist. There's a large number of people out there who are deeply interested, but just not necessarily to the point where they want to commit that time to it. But there's great, great value in them watching. Someone might be working for the government and they don't want a new version of ASP.NET every month. And in this case, they're not going to get one. This isn't going to change the speed at which we release ASP.NET, but it's going to tighten that feedback loop. And a lurker who doesn't commit is still someone who might see a check-in and express a concern about it, or bring up an issue, or find a bug. And that's why I want to emphasize the idea of open development over open source. Open source means, yeah, everyone could be committing. We don't necessarily want that. I'm interested in everyone watching and then bringing up their perspective the second they see the opportunity, and then getting involved in the conversation. The conversation is, in my opinion, as important or more so as the check-ins are.
Mm-hmm. Because as we have that conversation, we learn what people need, we get to hear more messages, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
Cool.
Yeah.
Have we had any crazy pull requests yet other than DeCazas? Have we had anybody else or anything else?
Let's go see. We've had a couple of good ones from a couple guys on GitHub. Had some things for fine-tuning how we use Git. Let me see. I'm going to click on source control. We have 4 pull requests right now. 2 changes to web API. I can click on status and look at all pull requests, and I can see who's reviewing them. We've had 5 total so far. It's only been a couple of days from the time that we're recording this, but I can see we've had 53 forks. So these are 53 people who have felt that they wanted to fork this into their own area and work on it. And I can see the different things that they're doing, adding patches to HTTP verbs, adding Git attributes. I can go to discussions, see discussions about each of the different sections. People are asking questions about how to debug. And the other thing that's nice is that they're asking for more. Here's a guy saying, well, this is great, but what about system.web.this and that? What about this? You know? So people are excited. People are paying attention. It looks like we've had, in the last 30 days, 82,000 page views just on a page that holds source code, which is pretty awesome.
That's pretty awesome.
I think it indicates that people are interested. But I want to point out that, again, this isn't going to become the center of all the things that are going on around ASP.NET. This is just the source code forge and the things that, the source for the web stack, including MVC Web API and Razor. We're going to keep information up at the ASP.NET website itself. So I want to encourage people to check that out as well. It may not necessarily be newsworthy, but we've completely revamped www.asp.net. And actually, in a couple of days, probably by the time you record this, we're going to have a mobile version of this site up. So this will work great on tablets and phones. We'll have responsive design, so when you resize the screen, it's going to automatically be appropriate for small devices and tablets. And we're also going to make the videos work everywhere on those iPhones, iPads, and tablets as well. But if you go and click on one of the things like MVC, we've got an open source section now. Web pages, web forms, and MVC all have open source tabs with some of the things that John Galloway and I and the team really like as our favorite open source things. So if you click on MVC, there you go, and then you clicked on open source, and you've got different libraries that we're excited about. But if you go back over to overview and look at the left-hand side there, we're basically building a living book. And that's going to increase because what we can do now is we've got all this running in Umbraco, which is an open source CMS. And some of these articles are on the site itself and some are elsewhere. So we're able to actually even bring in other people's blog posts and other people's videos and things that they're interested in. So it's a kind of a community-based, curated living book with tutorials and samples. So if you had given up on the ASP.NET site, I would encourage you to get back on board because it's as up-to-date and living as it has been in a long time.
Absolutely. And here's one of my favorite projects out there, Glimpse. Glimpse is a fantastic product. It's sort of a server-side debugger for the ASP.NET or MVC runtimes.
Yeah, absolutely. And we also revamped the downloads button. ASP.NET/downloads is pretty cool because if you look just right below the big green button that says install now, we've pulled in our favorite extensions and tools as well as open source apps. And that install now button, people don't realize that button is actually really significant. That green button does two things. If you have a fresh machine that has nothing on it and you hit that green button, we'll automatically go get Visual Studio, the right service packs, IIS Express, all the frameworks, everything. It'll work out of the box. If you already have Visual Studio 2010, we'll automatically update you to the latest version and include IIS Express and all that stuff as well. So it's kind of hard to explain. That's why we have the text underneath the big button there. But this is the everything button. Okay? It gets you if you have nothing, it gets you everything free. If you have a paid version already, it updates you to the latest version with all the right stuff.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Well, that's wonderful. We've definitely made a lot more investment.
Like,
oh, I love it. It's fantastic.
We worked very hard on that. Thank you, sir.
Yes. Well, I think you have an upcoming presentation. I wanted to give you the opportunity to talk about that a little bit. I think it's in Florida. Aren't you doing, or is that Hunter? Oh, never mind. Hunter's doing it. I'll shut up now. We'll skip over that.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I was thinking of the one ASP.NET thing, but I think Hunter's going to be doing that down there.
What conference is that?
Tech Ed.
Well, if you go up to lanyard.com.
Lanyard?
LANYRD. I'll give you a link there. /guides/Microsoft. It's actually a curated guide. So go to /guides/Microsoft. Lanyard. A lanyard, of course, is the thing that you wear when you go to a conference. Go to /guide/Microsoft. And this is a list of all the conferences that I think people who are interested in technology might want to go to. Some of them are Microsoft conferences, but some of them are more generic. We've got JSConf and VS Live and NDC and all these different conferences. You can see who's going, the topics, as well as who's going to be speaking at them, and slides and things like that. Lanyard's a great social conference directory that I encourage people to check out. So if you're interested in what's going on, we're spending a lot more time on Lanyard, updating that with where we're going to be and what we're going to be talking about.
Excellent. Here's one that I enjoy, the MAD Expo in Virginia. It's kind of a hands-on. Pete Brown was there last year with all of his robots.
Yep.
It's good times. So
I'm going to be at a conference. Let me see, where's my conferences right now? I'm going to be at... a conference called That Conference. Let's look at the old Hansel calendar here. I've got, I'll be in Russia in May. I will be at Star Trek in Ohio in the first week of May, last part of April there. I'll be in Philadelphia at a blogging conference in June. I'm not sure if I'll be at TechEd. I know there's TechEd North America and TechEd Amsterdam coming up. I'll be in Scotland in July. We're doing a user group tour. I'm going to visit all the little towns of Scotland. And then I'll be at That Conference. It's actually called That Conference. I think that is in Wisconsin in August.
Yes, it's at the Kalahari Resort in Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin. It's up on the screen right now.
Very fancy.
When I saw...
Then I'll be in Denmark and Poland and maybe Lithuania. So we'll see. I got to get all the flight stuff figured out.
The jet setter.
Very exciting stuff.
Good stuff. Awesome. Well, if you don't have anything else to add, I'll let you get back to your family. I understand that everybody for the last week was out in Vegas, and I don't think anybody feels very well. I think there was a flu virus that went around or something. So I'll definitely let you get back to the bed and the cold medicine. But if you have anything else to add?
No, I just want people to make sure that they get involved. And even if getting involved means subscribing and watching, right? Getting involved is as much about awareness as it is about doing the commits yourself. I don't think that everyone in the world is going to go and download and rebuild the ASP.NET web stack. But if you're interested in a particular bug, this is a way for you to watch it. Sometimes people feel that they put things on connect and they file a bug and they don't know what's going on. We want to have the relationship between the development team and the public to be tighter. We want it to be completely unambiguous. When something is changed, why did it change? What did the source code look like? What is the diff between before and after? That's the value, I think, of open development, and I'm pretty excited about it, and I hope that you are as well.
I'm extremely stoked about it. Cannot wait for it to happen. Well, thank you so much for your time. I'll let you get back to getting well.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Take care, guys. Thanks for coming to WebCamps TV.